dawdler, goldbricker, dreamer. If you appreciate taking it easy or not, but who among us doesn't enjoy goofing off, or if you have a passion for words, I hope you'll stay tuned. On the other hand, if you'd rather be daydreaming or catnapping, by all means. My guest this afternoon is Joshua Glenn, one of the compilers of a delightful little book of 130-some pages. It is appropriate for tucking into a stocking, hint, hint. The title, The Idler's Glossary. It has won the approval of the Royal Society of the Indolent. Joshua Glenn's co-author of The Idler's Glossary is Mark Kingwell. He wrote the essay that opens the book. Joshua Glenn is responsible for the entries that follow. The book was designed and decorated by Seth. The publisher is Biblioasis, and you'll find them on the web at www.biblioasis.com. Joshua Glenn, good to talk with you. How are you?
Hi, Celeste. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. So what does it mean to be an idler, a true idler?
There's an age-old tradition going all the way back to Aristotle of defending idleness, so-called, as Robert Louis Stevenson put it. I'm quoting from him here, which does not consist in doing nothing, but in doing a great deal not recognized in the dogmatic formularies of the ruling class. So the idler is someone who looks like he's doing nothing or she's doing nothing, but in fact, they're not being useless and unproductive.
Yeah, and they apparently, according to your co-author, Mark Kingwell, they excel at lingering.
Lingering, dawdling, spending time on the couch, but not, you know, channel surfing, all sorts of things, truancy, scampery, all sorts of things that we're fast losing the ability to do. Ways to spend your free time that's not killing time.
Yeah. And you say the way that we pay so much attention to free time, but actually we are not free. We're busy in our free time doing leisure activities.
Right. I think one thing I try to distinguish between in the glossary is freedom from time, which is, you know, when you're not at work, you're free from the constraints of your work, perhaps. But it's different from freedom to time, when you're actually free to do something, to enjoy leisure. In Aristotle's definition of leisure, meaning things that you do simply for their own sake, not in other words, in order to recharge your battery so you can go back to work the next day, not the things we tend to do on our vacations and kids do at recess, all of which are ways of blowing off steam and basically are still part of the working world because they are just getting you ready to go back to what you're doing. What Aristotle had in mind were activities like meditating, talking with your friends, making music, so all sorts of things that we, again, are losing the ability to know how to do or even want to do anymore.
Yeah. So are idlers an endangered species?
Yes, they have been for a long time, and I think certainly, as the Calvinist work ethic swept across the Western world in the early modern era, it really became endangered. In fact, if you look at the Latin word for business or for the work that you do, negotium actually means it's the negation of otium. So in other words, otium meaning leisure or idleness. So in the old day, in ancient times, your business, your negotium, was not doing your leisure. So it was the negation of something. Where of course now, our leisure is not being at work. So we've completely flipped around our values somehow.
Mm. So what kind of little light bulb or big light bulb went on for you and Mark Kingwell to write this volume celebrating idleness?
Oh, we came at it from two different angles. I am a lifelong confirmed idler. I can't help it. It's really I've had plenty of jobs, and I always do well at my jobs. But then I never want to stay for more than a couple of years. And I wrote something about this 10 years ago for an English journal called The Idler, which was a some young guys were restarting Samuel Johnson, the dictionary maker, had a column called The Idler in the 18th century. And I wrote about some of my ideas about idling for them. And Mark Kingwell, who I didn't know at the time, read this stuff, and we started corresponding. And so 10 years later, we finally dawdled our way towards doing a book together.
That's the way to do it. You know, we live in a 24/7 world, and as you mentioned, the work ethic is, you know, so much a part of our culture. Is that why there are so many words and phrases that have to do with being idle? And some of these words, like goldbricker, you know, they have a real negative connotation.
Yes, you picked a funny one, of course, because, you know, we... Goldbricker, of course, is a little bit of an archaic word at this time, but it's early 20th century slang for a lazy person or a shirker, someone avoiding their duties, their responsibilities. So it makes them seem like a lazy person. Ironically, however, the term was inspired by a guy named Reed Waddell, who was a 19th century swindler who hustled bricks that he'd painted gold. So he actually was working pretty hard on his con. But yeah, there's a lot. Most words, including the word idle itself, are pejoratives at this point. As I point out from looking at the etymology of a lot of them, you know, and a large part of what I was doing in the book was sort of having fun, being very nerdy and geeky, diving into the etymology of, you know, a couple hundred terms related to idling and sleeping and walking slowly and so forth. But what you learn is that quite a lot of them started off as positives and have only become negatives over the years.
Yeah. Well, share a couple of your favorites with us.
Oh, my goodness. So I like of course, the flâneur. We know as we think of the flâneur as the idle man about town, who just sort of you know, drifts along the sidewalk looking fabulous. But it occurred to me as I was studying Baudelaire a few years ago that the flâneur is actually kind of a street performer. It's really kind of a guerrilla street theater, like you saw in the '60s, where this person who is purposely walking very slowly, and the famous example was Nerval, who walked a lobster down the sidewalk in Paris on a leash. But he or she is ostentatiously sort of thumbing their nose at the bustling, hurrying crowds and saying, you know, there is a better way of. So they're not just there's a better way of living. So they're not just showing off at how wonderfully they're dressed. They are saying, you know, by walking slowly, I am telling you that you're walking too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I was amused by how many words like bootless and slipshod seem to suggest that if you're not wearing shoes, you're being useless. And of course, as an idler, I like to believe that being barefoot or wearing flip-flops or slippers at the most is the best way to treat your feet. There's so many. I like the. I'm fascinated by the Japanese term karoshi, which you may know, meaning death from overwork. Which the Japanese government actually has a policy of trying to get people to work less because so many people there actually, you know, work themselves literally to death now. It's a term, and I feel like it's going to be the next big Japanese import after karaoke to our country. It will be karoshi.
Yeah. Well, go to the entry for slug a bed.
Look at that. Okay.
I have been so-called, this is an interesting entry in that it comes from you draw on some literature here too.
I'll read it. Ivan Goncharov, author of the 1859 novel Oblomov, is careful to show that his protagonist is not supine in the manner of a lie-abed, for whom lying down is a real sensual pleasure and an aid to dreaming, but instead because of his lax hebetudinousness. So I do this quite a lot in the glossary. I'm actually, the glossary might seem like I'm just saying everything that's not about working is good. I'm actually quite moralistic and finger-wagging at certain, I draw distinctions between idling and slacking. Basically, and to me, the slacker is somebody who doesn't like to work, but they are just kind of lazy, and they don't have energy, and they don't really have any better ideas of what to do. They just don't know they don't want to work.
Mm.
So they really are kind of killing time and wasting their lives.
Mm.
And I've been as guilty of that as anyone. And we as a culture love slackers. So many of our movies and our movie stars, you know, like someone like Adam Sandler, you know, plays a slacker in every movie. Whereas the idler is somebody who also seems like they look like a slacker, perhaps. They also resist work and, you know, don't want all their time taken up by things that don't matter to them. But they actually can be quite productive and even, you know, I don't want to say busy, but they can, you know, stay up all night long working on a project that really captures their imagination and makes them happy to do. So that's quite different from being lazy and tired and apathetic.
Yeah, and the next day it's perfectly fine to lie down.
Yeah. And So Oblomov is somebody who often gets mentioned when you're reading literature about idlers. Oblomov is this Russian novel, and Oblomov is a character who spends all his time in bed. But when I read the novel, expecting to find an idler, I really found a slacker. He's somebody who was just disappointed that he didn't get ahead in the business world like he wanted to, and just took to his bed in kind of disappointment. So he really is just kind of a, you know, he doesn't really have any other ideas of what to do with himself. Whereas I think of someone like John Lennon, who wrote I'm Only Sleeping, as a kind of pay-in to his love of the couch and the bed as a creative space for him, and dreams as a place that he gets great ideas for his art. I think of him as a lie-a-bed, which I consider a positive thing.
Oh, okay. So next time somebody accuses me of being a slug-a-bed, I'll say, I'm sorry, I'm a lie-a-bed.
Yeah.
Well, there we have to leave it. Joshua Glenn, happy idling.
Yes, thanks so much.
You're very welcome. Joshua Glenn, one of the compilers of a delightful little book, The Idler's Glossary. His co-author, Mark Kingwell, designed and decorated by the cartoonist Seth. The book is published by Biblioasis, and the website for the publisher is www.biblioasis.com.